Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills with Microsoft and I do Windows Server Marketing, and I'm joined again by Keith Mayer from Microsoft. How you doing, Keith?
Great, Eric. How are you today?
I'm well, my friend. We're talking about containers today. A lot of people are very excited about containers, a new feature in Windows Server 2016 that people have heard about, but they have a lot of questions. They haven't seen it yet. They're having a hard time wrapping their head around what is a container. So I'm hoping that you can help us out with some of these hard questions, Keith.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. What is a container?
Yeah, so I think the easiest way to understand what a container is to take a step back and compare it to something that most people are really familiar with nowadays, virtual machines. You know, virtual machines have been used for years and years in data centers to virtualize hardware, right? To have physical servers that you're running separate OS and application instances on same hardware in separate virtual machines. That's worked great, but what we've found is that using virtual machines alone oftentimes still doesn't get us the true level of density and the full kind of speed that we're looking for in deployments that we'd otherwise like, because with each virtual machine, there's still the need to, inside that virtual machine, start up a full operating system. That full operating system takes time to start up, takes additional memory and whatnot. And so what containers gives us is the ability to do OS level virtualization, is the way that I think about it, to have either a physical host or a virtual machine that's presenting an operating system that we can virtualize processes, file system, and registry namespaces and whatnot, and run them in an isolated containerized manner so that we can very quickly, within a few seconds, deploy new containerized workloads. And we can do that with maximum density because we don't have the overhead of running a full operating system instance for every application instance that we're deploying with containers.
Right. So you're mentioning a lot of really good stuff here. Speed, density, overhead. So these virtual machines have all this virtualized hardware, which adds a lot of overhead to the entire situation that a container is not going to have. So are we going to get faster speed and better density with containers than virtual machines?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so you definitely, from a deployment speed standpoint, being able to iterate and deploy new versions of those applications, speed, you know, with virtual machines, we're commonly thinking about minutes, like 2, 3, 4 minutes for a virtual machine to start up, boot its operating system, launch the applications inside of it. With containers, we're commonly talking about seconds for deploying a new workload and having it be available.
Okay, so from minutes to seconds, I think we have everyone's attention there. What about density, Keith? Like, what kind of density can people expect with containers versus virtual machines?
Well, with containers, because you don't have that overhead of the full OS instance for each containerized workload, you're able to take the amount of memory that a host or a VM presents and maximize its use just for those container instances. So if you think about Hyper-V host, for instance, that has 100 virtual machines on it, well, for each of those 100 virtual machines, there's probably, you know, maybe 512 to 768 meg of memory that's used by the core operating system that's running inside each of those VMs. So you think about that times 100 that you can now turn into usable memory for running applications. It kind of starts giving you a sense as to how dense you can really get deploy, how much you can increase your density of common workloads. The other piece that we see, though, is that from a deployment perspective, in many environments, although virtual machines can have virtual memory that's dynamically kind of grown and shrunk, a lot of environments still take the approach of allocating virtual machines with a fixed amount of memory. And at all times throughout the day, all of that memory may not be needed by every one of those virtual machines that are deployed. And so oftentimes you see anywhere from 25 to 40% of the memory that's allocated to a virtual machine going idle. Well, that becomes something that containers can dynamically take advantage of to increase density as well. So we've seen customer environments that have gone from pure virtual machines to either a mix of virtual machines and containers or pure container deployments, be able to increase their density by as much as 2, 3, 4, even 5 times the density they had over their virtual machine deployments.
Wow, that's exciting. 2 to 5 times more density. That's a big deal.
Mm, definitely, yeah.
Nice. And so each container is going to have its own view of the file system and the registry, correct?
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
keep things separate.
Yep.
Right.
Essentially, it's doing namespace virtualization, a technology that's been kind of tried and proven in other operating system world, Linux and mid-range and mainframe systems for ages. We're using that same technology now with Windows Server to make it more broadly available to everyone.
Okay. So should everyone ditch virtual machines and move everything to containers now?
No, not necessarily. That's a great question. You know, there's certain workloads that make a lot of sense for containers, and then there's other workloads that oftentimes are still going to be better suited towards virtual machines. The workloads that that I see as being most relevant for containers are generally back-end server workloads, so like web application servers or middle-tier servers that don't have persistent data and don't have a full Windows UI that they're trying to present as part of that application. So typically, when you think about a common enterprise app that may have a client application component that runs as a Windows app that talks to maybe a web API server and a middle-tier server and a data server, that web server and middle-tier server are the ones that are largely the targets for containerization. And then the front-end app, oftentimes that would continue to run inside virtual machines, perhaps using something like our Windows Server 2016 Remote Desktop Services, or RDS, to present remotely. And the data tier, because it has lots of persistent data associated with it in the data tier, that continues to run as VMs as well.
Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. What about security? I know security is one of the main tenets of Windows Server 2016, and people are very interested in, you know, all aspects of security. Are containers as secure as virtual machines with the full isolation?
Well, that's a great question. So containers, because they're not isolating each application with their own independent instance of an operating system by default, there are some potential security concerns from that standpoint when you start thinking about using containers in more of a multi-tenant or multi-customer shared environment. And so with Windows Server 2016, we've addressed that by giving 2 different deployment modes for deploying Windows containers. The default mode is to deploy them as Windows Server containers using that OS virtualization that we've been discussing, where all of the containers are sitting on top of a common shared OS kernel. But for those more secure installations, where perhaps it's a multi-tenant hosting installation, for instance, servicing multiple customers, you can take those same container images and with just a deployment switch, as you're deploying them, have them deployed as Hyper-V containers. Now, what Hyper-V containers are, they're a lightweight, kind of bare-bones virtual machine that provides a lightweight OS instance kernel that the container then sits on top of. So it does add a little more overhead in terms of density, right, because you've got an OS instance now, but it gives you the ability to take your same container images that you're deploying as Windows Server containers and deploy them as Hyper-V containers for those deployment needs that require greater security, greater isolation between containers. And you can mix and match even within the same deployment. So you could have, you know, your web tier deployed as Windows Server containers, and if your middle tier had more sensitive security needs, deploy those as Hyper-V containers, for instance.
Nice. So we've got a couple of new deployment options for our workloads now with Windows Server 2016. We've got containers and Hyper-V containers, and these are going to have, a lot more, just gives people more options on where to deploy their workloads. If they want maximum speed, maximum density, maybe a container is the best fit. If they want that along with the full security of a virtual machine, then maybe a Hyper-V container may be a better fit.
Yep. The other area that I see a lot of interest around containers is in the dev and test arena. So outside of production workloads, oftentimes what containers give is the ability to very quickly package up a entire environment with settings, security values, application configuration, code as a deployable container. And that has a lot of value when you're trying to work and spin up multiple copies of a dev or test environment for an application that your development teams are working on. So dev and test is a natural fit for containers as well.
Nice. Well, when I talk to people about containers, often they kind of get conceptually what it is, but I think it would really help if people could see it, like see what it looks like, see how it actually works. Are you able to show us a demo of that, Keith?
Absolutely. Let's swing over to my lab environment and we can walk through a quick demo together.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So Eric, here we are in over in my lab environment, and we're connected into the console of one of my Windows Server 2016 hosts that I've installed the Windows Server container feature on. And we're going to step through deployment of a container just so we can see how fast it is. In fact, one of the really exciting areas that a lot of the people I've been talking to are excited about is our SQL Server team. With SQL Server vNext is offering a containerized, completely containerized version of SQL Server. I know you may think, hey, that doesn't sound like a good candidate for a container. It's a data tier application. Why are we talking about that in containers? But for those dev and test scenarios that we had talked about, it makes a lot of sense, because deploying SQL Server for multiple instances of SQL Server for dev and test teams in the traditional ways can take a lot of time. And with containers, we can package up just what our dev teams need from SQL Server and deploy it very quickly, deploy multiple instances all on the fly. So what I'm going to do is on this host, I'll just first step through the option for, let me just turn on my toolbar here, for seeing what we have installed on the host. So I'm going to bring up a list of its current services, and you'll see there's a bunch of common services that are installed by default, just like any Windows server. But if I look for any of my SQL services that you would typically see if SQL were natively installed on this server, you'll see they're not there. SQL Server is not installed at all. Instead, we're going to be bringing it up inside of a container. And to be able to do this very quickly, we already have a packaged version of Microsoft SQL vNext out on Docker Hub. So if I right from my Windows box, if I just run a Docker search command looking for the MS SQL instances that are the container images that are out on Docker Hub, we'll see there's a number of them, not just for SQL Server on Windows, but also SQL Server vNext on Linux. We've got an Express version. We've got the full Enterprise edition. And I've already used a Docker pull command to pull that down just to save a little bit of time, the full Enterprise edition of that. So I've already done the Docker pull, and that pulls that container image into my local image repository on this box. So if I run a Docker images command, you can see that in addition to the standard Nano Server and Windows Server Core container images, I also have a completely pre-built MS SQL Server container image.
Okay.
And so if I want to spin that up really quick, I'll just run a Docker run command. So this Docker run command tells me what ports I want SQL Server listening on. It passes in the password I want to use for the default SA account, and then it specifies the image. So let's just run that, and we'll see how quickly that spins up. So there we go. We have SQL Server running on this box as a container.
Wow.
Have you ever seen SQL Server deploy that fast before?
I don't believe you, Keith. I don't believe you actually fired up SQL Server that fast.
Well, let's run Docker PS. That shows us the active containers that are running. Here's SQL Server for Windows running. It's been up for 14 seconds now. Actually, it took about 3 seconds for it to launch, so it's only been up for 11 of those 14 seconds. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect to it just to prove that it's working. So I'm going to grab this container ID. That's what Docker uses to identify each container instance. So I'm going to run that same Docker PS command, but I'm going to pass it into PowerShell so I can pull out just the container ID value. And then I'm going to find the IP address that has been assigned to this container by Docker. So here's the IP that's been dynamically assigned. So I'm just going to grab that IP and copy it, and then I'm going to start up Microsoft SQL Server Management Studio, just like I would if I was connecting to a normal natively deployed SQL Server. I'll plug in that IP. I'll put in my SA password. And there we go.
Wow.
Up and running.
Very
before
nice.
Before you could type in the setup command for SQL Server in the old days, you're up and running with a new SQL instance.
Yeah, I'm stunned. So in under 15 seconds, you essentially fired up a SQL Server container and connected to it from the SQL Management Studio. Very nice.
Yep, absolutely. And now what I can do even further inside this container is I can take a T-SQL script like this that's going to just create a database and some sample tables and populate it with values. So I'll just open up a new query window and plug that script in and execute that. And what we'll see is that that's going to create, if I refresh my databases here, it'll create a sample DB, and it has a sample table that it created, and it's got some rows that it put into that sample table. So now what I'll do is I'll take my customized SQL Server environment that I've just run inside this container. I'm going to exit out of Management Studio, and I'll create an image. So I'm going to stop the container that's currently running, and I'm going to create my own little custom image that includes all those changes I just made, and I'm going to call it MySQL vNext. So I'll go ahead and commit that container that I've made those changes into as an image, a new image. Takes just a moment for it to fully commit. There we go. And now if I look at my Docker images list, we see my new custom container images there, along with the standard image for MS SQL Server that I pulled down from Docker Hub. And now I'm going to use a similar Docker run command, but I'm going to use my custom image name instead of the standard container image. So I'll go ahead and run that. And just like before, within a few seconds, it comes up, new SQL deployment. If I go back and run Docker PS, let me just scroll back up here to display my running container. We'll see it's now running. It's got a different container ID from the old one. So I'll go ahead and grab that container ID for MySQL vNext, find out the IP address that it's using, so different IP because it's a different container instance, different instance of SQL that's running. And now, if I connect in, not only do I get SQL Server, but I get it deployed as a new SQL Server instance with all of those changes that I just made.
That's amazing.
So we'll come back in here, we'll put the new IP in, log back in. If we go out to databases, there's my sample DB. There's my sample table. If I did a select on that table, you'd see all the rows there. So, I mean, when you think about packaging up an entire dev database environment with the database schema, sample data, security information, stored procedure, all the stuff that you need to populate a base dev environment, in being able to set that up multiple times in just a few seconds, it's a pretty amazing what containers can do for your environment.
Absolutely. You just blew my mind, and I think the listeners are going to want to see more of this, Keith. So we'll do some further deep dives on containers. This is really cool stuff.
Great.
All right. Awesome demo, Keith. Thanks for showing us that. I'm sure a lot of people really enjoyed getting their first look at containers and the fact that you can fire up SQL so fast and all the flexibility that you get to deal with dev and test. I think a lot of people are going to take notice of that. So thank you for that quick demo. Everyone, thank you for watching. That wraps it up for this episode of OEM TV. We'll see you next time.